Blog Talk Radio.
Hello to all of our Blog Talk listeners. Thank you for joining Tweaking Your Vibrations this Sunday again. We surely appreciate it. We have a very interesting show for you this Sunday. Val, you here with me?
Yeah, hon, I'm here, hon.
Hey, how's it going today?
Awesome. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I have been on the edge of my seat this morning.
I love it.
Absolutely ready to do this show this Sunday. Because you know it's been like tugging at me for a few weeks now, and it's like, oh wow, okay.
Well, that's why you're rocking and rolling, girlfriend.
Oh God, I'm excited about this. The hour goes by really fast, so we're gonna get started on what the show is about this week. And what we're going to talk about today is when attachment to a need to be right steps on freedom of expression. And this was a subject that kind of grabbed hold of me a few weeks ago. But basically, we're just going to be talking about what can happen when inner or outer beliefs and opinions and concepts or the dominant vibration at the express of the highest good of all. Why does it seem that unity, liberty, and true freedom of expression disappear when the attachment to a need to be right is taken to the extreme? And what that, to kind of simplify that, is when we as individuals have a core belief about something, and we run across another individual that has the complete opposite of what we, our core beliefs are, what is the attachment, or why do we try to kind of drive home our opinion for the other person instead of saying, you know, okay, well, this is what you believe, and so this is what I believe, and not try to change where that person is. And I think some of the areas of abuse of power are health, the environment, insurance, economics, religion, and spirituality, particularly religion and spirituality. And I think that those two words kind of, for some people, go hand in hand. And I think that's a different... I think there's a difference between the two, but that's going to be a subject for another show at some point in time. But there's a scripture, Matthew 5:16, that says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And that also kind of reminds me of, and Val is really good with remembering a lot of the scriptures, but something that Jesus said was to shine your light. And nowhere in there did he say to shine his light on anything. When he said shine your light, he meant shine your individual light, not shine somebody else's light. So what might be light for someone, for you, may not be that same particular lightness for another person. And yes, it is all right for us to be inspired by someone such as Jesus, who, you know, walked their light, but that we have to find our own walk. And let's see. The spirit is present. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. One of the things that I was, you know, kind of to talk about, you know, Angela was and I were discussing about what's it going to take for us to wake up. And, you know, one of the things that we were looking at is I pondered and, what would each individual's inner and outer reality look like if they remembered or they relearned how to always design their current reality in perfect symmetry with their powerful divine aspect? of their that their soul knows who they are. And I think that it comes from that that place from, coming from the power within. Now, we know that words are life. It has a consciousness. Each word has life, kind of like the word became flesh is what we would say in our language today, thoughts becoming things. And each word has energy. Each word has life. They're symbols of our thoughts. And words can invoke life or continuation, or they can... Or they can actually create death or discontinuation, the finality, kind of like the word fired or quit. There's a discontinuation to a job or a work. Divorce is like a legal death to a marriage. So there are symbols, the words becoming flesh. And the thing that is amazing to me is that I believe with my whole heart, and Angela is can speak of herself, the spirit of who we are did not become human to defend our innate value or our worth about all that we want to express when we arrived on the planet. And nor did I believe the spirit of mankind showed up become enslaved by another's perspective or an ideal. Although for many, their current circumstances seems to mirror and reflect conditional enslavement. And that's what we were talking about when the opinion of someone else becomes more powerful than the message, or than the originator of all that we came from.
Right, and to go a little further about how much more is it going to take for us to wake up? I mean, we have so many. There's a lot of evidence out there that this the need to be right. It's been. Because it's stepping on another's core belief, you know, we have wars because of it. We have wars over whose religion is right. You know, everybody wants to be the right one, and everybody says, you know, well, this way is the right way. And we have that. We have, you know, disagreements, you know, individual disagreements that pop up in the news all the time. And, you know, how much more is it going to take for us to realize that, hey, stepping on another individual's right to have their own core belief or their own light or their own path that they follow, when are we going to wake up and say, you know what, that's just that person's belief and, you know, this is mine, and have respect for where somebody else is in their journey? And I think that has messed up a lot of, it's caused so much havoc because of the where their energy is with that when we do disrespect somebody else's core belief.
Well, you know, let's go back to the Declaration of Independence, because I think that we forget what that whole due process stood on. And so Angela, I thought it'd be fun to kind of bring that back up. And we want to let everybody know we're going to have post-show links to some of the things that we talk about at our tweakingyourvibrations.com. This is what it kind of we thought would be best to spotlight today. It just says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they shall declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Oh, goodness. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was looking at that chat room. So that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem likely to affect their safety and happiness. And when we were looking at some of the things that are happening in America, we recently came upon, some of the abuses of power, namely in the health industry right now. The whole vaccination situation is kind of running amok. And this is, I was thinking about the opinions. It says, what happens when a thought of one human or a string of thoughts becomes an opinion, and it's so set in motion to become a physical manifestation? And then in turn, these opinions become physical law of the land. And over the course of legislation, these laws of the land are taken to become so out of control and used against another human at the expense of their livelihood or personal freedom and rights as a citizen, rather than to protect, honor, and support their life, liberties, and the pursuit of happiness. What happens then? We become individually like boiling frogs in a pot. We're held purposely in the dark as to what may be actually happening behind the scenes to our individual freedoms, our personal rights, our blessings of liberty, and our pursuit of happiness by the very lawmakers within our country. And this is what's happening when a symbol or a symbolism or a title, such as the offices of FDAs or the FTCs, created by the use of our government, or when an educational degree like a doctor or MD or justice of the peace or a lawyer or even a flag, whatever form manifested, becomes the power over the people's choices in such a way to become destructive to the equality and independent free will rights of mankind for the highest good at all. What happens when our governmental agencies err at the expense of our optimal well-being? When money exchanging hands becomes the precursor for what's mandated at the expense of our health, environmentally, and economically well-being? And that's what we wanted to point of spotlight, the health, the environment, the insurance companies, the bankers, the mortgage, the economics, our religion, all these rights that we are supposedly to have freedom of expression in are slowly becoming convoluted. And the powers to be are deciding to make laws on our behalf, but at our expense. And that's what I'm really, really feeling like these days.
Well, you know, you said the flag, and I have an interesting story about that. But particularly when it comes to the government being able to tell, or you know, legally being able to tell an individual what they can do with it, like you said before, with their bodies as far as health, you know, whether to take the shot or not, or you know, or the bigger thing, because we've seen this in the past, abortion rights, an individual's right to choose what they're going to do with their body, because the collective thinks that this is such a wrong thing, that a person should not be able to do that, and that they should be able to save an individual from making a mistake. In that area, you know, we think collectively, oh, that's okay, because we're doing something to save someone. But where is the line drawn? Because if that's okay, then when does it become not okay? And, for instance, this vaccine, what if, you know, the government decided to say, okay, we're going to make you guys take this this vaccine for the swine flu. None of you have a choice. We're going to save you from yourselves. It's the exact same thing. It is the exact same thing as another person telling someone, well, you can't have the abortion that you want because we feel it's wrong, and we're going to save you from yourself. I mean, where is the line drawn in that? And as individuals, I think we, you know, when it doesn't hit close to home, we have a tendency to, again, judge another for where they are and the decisions that they make for what's right for their life. And it's okay when that happens. But most of the time, it never usually hits home until the masses are really affected by it. And again, it goes back to the question of, about how much more is it going to take for us to say, okay, you know what, it's an individual's right to be able to choose whatever they want, whatever's best for them as far as religion, spirituality, economics, health, environment, all those things.
Well, I think right now what's interesting is that, you know, I was recently reading one of these headlines about the FDA being sued over the antioxidant health claims censorship stuff. Right now, there is two law bills being put into law, and we'll have those links, like I said, at the post show. But it wants to talk about these two laws that they say it's about food, but actually it's more than just food. They're going after supplemental claims and saying that there are certain words that you can't use or be unless you are under, quote, concluded under their umbrella. To me, they're actually abusing their power because they're not abiding by our First Amendment principles of free speech that's been applied in various courts over the years. And you know what about vaccinations? There are laws that, you know, you can't, no court, I don't think, in our land will go after suing somebody for not getting their people vaccinated. I think that it's a real slippery slope when it comes to someone's personal rights of what they're going to put in their bodies. And yet there's a lot of intimidation right now going on about what you should be able to put in your body and what you can't. Or what you need to be putting in your body versus what you can't. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the whole thing is about free choice and education. I really, really want to have people to start just checking in with themselves. Where did a thought become the law of the land? Where did opinion become a law of the land? And is it to the point now when we're taking things and we're just accepting them blindly without saying, does this law, does this opinion, does this thought need to be revised? In current reality, in the 21st century, some of these laws that need to be revised, I was looking at due process and some of the stuff, let's see, in our Constitution, and I think there's a part of it that goes all the way back to like the 1500s about kings and rights of land and baronship. We don't even have any of that.
Well, you know, it's still in the collective conscience, though. It's still there.
You know,
and as an individual, I think we think as people, especially here in America, I think that we look so much to an outer source for guidance that we don't listen to our own. And so since we feel, or there's a lot of us that have that core belief that we feel like we need to have something out there to be able to tell us what to do in order for chaos not to, you know, to take over, that we have all these rules and this red tape and all this stuff in place that clearly isn't working. But as individuals, we were born free. We were born with certain we don't have to have an outside source to tell us what we should or should do or how we should or should not think. And I think it's still in the collective conscious. That's why, I mean, that's what was going on back then, but I think we brought that over subconsciously into this time.
Yeah, okay, so let's look at this health care form that's right now going to the H.R. 2749, granted to the it's a bill. It said, the food safety portions of the bill give FDA unprecedented powers over farmers, healthcare alternative supplements, and limits to the right of the people to take healthier supplements for their dietary needs. This bill is a disaster for those who are sick and dying and does not spend any money or on research for adult stem cell treatments. People are turning to China for true stem cell treatments unencumbered by the FDA and that do not involve drug company paybacks. The thing that's interesting is that what's going on behind the scenes is who's holding our government accountable.
Mm-hmm.
The government was set up for the people, by the people, but are the people, the massive people, are we holding our government accountable?
We are not. We are, instead of our government, and for lack of a better word, being afraid, quote unquote, of us, we're afraid of our government. And as a mass of people, you know, a lot of these offices, or the people are elected into them. And so, and that's another thing. We elect these people into office because we think they're going to speak for us, and when in all actuality we should be speaking for ourselves and not electing someone to get into office to be able to tell us what we should do.
Or if we have a representative and they're not in alignment with our you know, our actual rights to pursue our happiness for the highest good of all. There's something about how almost like we've given way too much power and at the expense of us. How do we get it back? Because, you know, if our thoughts become things, it's not too late. This is what's interesting. I hear a lot of times people say, well, there's not much we can do about it. But believe me, a small amount of people, one person with the passion to make a difference, literally can change thousands of people. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's just one step at a time. And take a look at, you know, each individual, our individual right to express ourselves, but also one step at a time to, I mean, I understand that there's things out there. And we have a choice to either screw it up or make it better. I mean, that's our free will choice. And I don't want to take my free will, whether I want to screw it up or make it better, away any more than I want someone else's. But I think that what you said when it comes to our government, are they looking out for our best well-being? Are
they? How can they?
You know, laws into place.
Because if we have a representative in office, and you know they're not doing what the majority wants them to do, okay, then what's the majority? And does the majority always rule? Because the majority is not always right. So how can one person tell the masses or be in alignment with the masses' energy when everybody's energy is different? So what I'm saying is, how can that person, that individual person, do what's right for everybody when what's right for one person is not right for the next person, is not right for the next person?
I think there should be options. I think there should be options given. First of all, I don't think that our government, acting supposedly on the well-being or the behalf of their country, should show favoritism. And I really would think it would be interesting is what would happen if all these people and the way that money was passed to their hands, what would happen if those things changed?
Mm-hmm.
They weren't meant. Do you know that right now, whatever's in the treasury chests of people accepting donations, they're allowed to keep that money. It's like free money. They're allowed to free. It's not taxed. They're allowed to keep it, all those donations. What would happen if the donations changed in the way that things were created? What would happen if lobbyists would quit having the voice or the power to make a decision for Congress or towards Congress in the back end? You know, what would happen if those different laws were put into effect? And what would happen if we really started taking a look at, you know, community get-togethers and community, you know, creating community of more choices? But it's connected to the individuals. Because you're right, Washington is way over here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all don't live in Washington. We all don't sit in on those meetings. There's like one representative for how many of the people in the state? And what would happen if we changed how long they stayed in? What would happen if we changed the way that they were voted on based on their results? And not how many years they were in office, but really based on the results. You know, I just think that we're not holding them accountable to the office that they said that they were going to hold.
No, we don't, and we haven't. And, you know, again, that goes to the whole system and the whole way it was set up. I mean, it may have worked in the past, may have worked before, but it's just not working right now. There's some things that need to be, you know, reworked, and we need to put the responsibility of everybody's well-being in that individual's own hands,
and, you know, and not say, you know, well, you know, it's the government, and, you know, they said, you know, that we should do this, so this is what, you know, this is what we should do. And, it, again, it's the collective consciousness following something, just sleeping, totally sleeping to where they are or where they could be as individuals. And I think that there's another question that I have. And what happens with an individual vibrationally when they step on someone else's free will? When I believe what happens is when I feel what happens is whenever somebody else says, okay, you know, this is what you should be doing, you know, and there's a total disrespect of where that person is, that not only are you stepping on their free will, but you're also stepping on yours, more so on your own individual free will than you are on the other person's, because you've just created that energy vibrationally for another person to come along and do the same thing to you.
Well, what happens when love your neighbor as yourself, like you were talking, okay, let's go into love your neighbor as yourself. That representation, if that kind of vibrated out, love your neighbor as yourself,
mm-hmm.
What does love mean? Do no harm? What does love really mean when it comes to the quality of life? You know, we're out here, it fascinates me because I was sitting here thinking about how do you dance between giving people the right to live the way that they desire to live and not say it's right, one way is right or wrong. That's just been a real perplexing question about, we see all the variables out there. And if thoughts become things and we do create our reality, then what's happening to the global massive consciousness where things are being put in our foods that are harming us, and we're being forced by certain powers to be to do what they say is right and wrong for us. What happened to those thoughts becoming things? And how can we change it? How can we change it to where we have the freedom to express ourselves, the freedom to go after our, you know, the health care that we desire, the foods we desire to eat, the environment that's cleaner? I mean, how do we change those things?
Well, I think that's a good question. And I think that we have to start as individuals and not say, okay, you know, like I have this, not have this mentality of, well, I'm doing good, you know, right now. I don't care about the masses, but I'm doing okay, so everything is fine. I think that especially when it comes to, you know, the kind of vehicles we drive and what we're doing, the kind of harm we're doing to the environment, if we would just individually, each of us, start to make a change, then the masses, the whole thing, the whole setup, the whole makeup would change. But it has to start at an individual level. I think that's where the change can begin.
And so, you know, there is so much support in community, in communities coming together for farming, different community cultures coming together for farming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that, and even in looking at how the economics are changing right now, there's a really good book out there that I thought was fantastic. For example, in our economics, and it's called, I'm going to look at this, Where Keys Went Wrong, Where Keynes Went Wrong. I have to, let me pull this up really quick because I thought it was great. It said, Where Keynes Went Wrong and Why World Governments Keep Creating Inflation Bubbles and Busts by Hunter Lewis.
Oh.
And it was talking about when what happened to us in the crash of 2008. Our economical slump. And so they talked about addressing this question to a guy named Timothy Kehoe, a distinguished professor of economics at the University of Minnesota. He's a self-described lifelong Democratic. He says if you postpone short-term pain, you end up with long-term pain. Well, you know, I was sitting here thinking about the growth. I mean, we have, you know, populations are exploding. You know, the farmers of America started putting, it was almost like the government took over and started saying, okay, you're not mass producing enough food, mm-hmm. so we're going to start shortcutting this and putting in, you know, more of a mass filler compensation. But that short-term result is now, when you take a look at it, is bringing long-term health crises to the masses. Okay, so the domino effect of high health crises to the masses. Now, the insurance companies, you have mm-hmm. a massive amount of people, disease. So what happens? Short-term pain, stuff them with drugs, get them into some of these cheaper type of economical things. Well, now there's more people. There's not enough monies. So the insurances start inflating their situations. The pharmaceutical companies start inflating theirs. This capitalism goes, like, out of whack, out of control. You know, it's like the drug companies are starting to want to make money because more people are taking their medications. The insurances jump in on it. They start partnering and actually trying to, you know, basically hit colleges and universities, go this way, tell this way. Mm-hmm. It was just like all this persuasion, and it was manipulation and control.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
But that short-term pain has cost us. You know, back in, I think it was in the 70s, the like bankers in the housing industry, there was a time where you could buy the same property at $15,000, jump to $80,000 to $100,000. When man went and started labor, working the industry age, you know, put a lot of people to work and gave them, you know, that was where that time for time and energy exchange for cash flow started happening. But it ended up also polluting our lands. And it made man the free will creator of their realities. It's like trade your time and energy for money. It made them give a lot of power to other people, saying I'm going to tell you what you're worth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That short term pain has ended up becoming a long term pain overall, you know, for the mass consciousness, because now, just 30, 40, 50 years later, everything is upside down.
Right, which is why we have such a, which is why everybody's saying, oh, the economy is crappy, oh, this is going on, or what's happening, and which is why that's happening. It's because it's time for a change, and it's time for things to take a different turn. But what I don't think that we realize is we've been in that energy for so long, what you were just talking about, that now everybody's panicking.
Because they have not,
right.
Yes, because they haven't grown that spiritual wisdom of creator inside them. They have not learned how do you create your reality from that inner knowingness, from that spiritual sense of you, the power of that thought, you know, the creator of worlds, the word that became flesh, that kind of got like stepped on.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people almost became robotic in giving so much power to the people that were mass producing, and at a cost of our creativity, at a cost of some of our liberties, at a cost of holding things accountable. I mean, it is fascinating to watch. We're like boiling frogs in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
I for one, am jumping out.
I'm jumping out of the pot.
You know, because it's interesting that as creators, I believe and have faith that I can create my own reality. I attract a lot of things that way.
Mm-hmm.
There are resolutions when you really, really seek them out, but it has to be tied to who you are.
Well,
and
I think
you are, you know, go ahead.
I think a lot of the reason for that is, now we're going to, you know, go to the religion side of this, is religion. A lot of us out here think that we cannot, and I had this come up for me a couple of days ago because of something that I had posted somewhere, and this was coming from me. This had nothing to do with anybody else. It was just coming from a place of appreciation with me, and I think that a lot of people believe that because our creator, our creativeness is outside of us, we have nothing to do with it. There's nothing that we can do or nothing that we are doing that's creating our reality. And so since we some of us, that's what our core belief is, then we can't get out of, we're going to be stuck for so long in this what we were just talking about not believing that we can create our own reality, that we can create our own well-being, because we think it's outside of us. So if we think it's outside of us, then we really don't believe that we have the power to make changes or make everything quote unquote right in our lives. And so if that's what we believe, then yes, somebody else is going to always have our power, or is going to always have the power over us, and is always going to be able to tell us what we can and cannot do. And it just trickles down. If you start with the religion, it goes and it just trickles down because you have that core belief of I can't take care of myself.
There you go. It's interesting. So you know, this is what's so interesting. Since World War II, we printed money. Debt levels grown. We've not only gotten inflations and bubbles, we've also gotten less and less growth for each increment of debt. During the decade of 1950 to 1959, we added $338 billion in debt, and we got a 73 cent in economic growth for each new dollar in new debt. For the decade 1990 to 1999, we added $12.5 trillion in debt, but only got 31 cents of growth per dollar of debt. For the 7 years plus, we added $24.3 trillion in debt, but only got 19 cents in growth for every dollar of debt. It's required more and more debt to generate further growth. And do you know what's so interesting about wartime? You know, if you go back to the Declaration of Independence and look at why they were, you know, basically feeling like they were forced to go to war for another country, do you know that's exactly what our country is doing to people right now? It's saying that you are forced to stay longer in the military. You're forced because we decide that we're going to go over here and police this country. And so you're forced to stay in this particular military, or you're, you know, forced. Thank goodness they haven't come out with, you know, the registration like they did with the Vietnam War. But it's still going on because you know why? War pays more money, but it also causes more debt. Mm-hmm. We have trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in debt right now. And our housing is going crazy. Our health is going crazy. But when are we going to start getting back to that whole connect, and start coming up with solutions or even options for us to get more in the creative powers of resolution and not regurgitating what's not working.
Right. And you see, and I'm glad you said that, because that goes right back to the energy that, you know, well, since this happened, especially with war, since this individual did something to me, I'm going to do something to them. How the collective also has a, you know, one wrong deserves another wrong kind of energy. It's like, you know, it's the back and forth. It's the tit for tat. You know, well, this country, you know, did this to us, or, you know, this individual did this to me. So how can I get back at them? And so we have so much collective crap going on. It's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But
well, let's look at this another thing. It's interesting because I always love this too. It said, and this is back in that book, Where Kings Went Wrong.com. You can go to Where Kings Went Wrong. It talked about historian Doris Goodwin observed that a degree of financial corruption has always existed in American government. It grew exponentially after the Civil War. Why? Because business and government became so closely involved with each other. Sometimes it was the hard corruption of outright bribery. More often it was the soft corruption of selling laws, tax breaks, rules, and decisions for campaign contributions, electioneering help, jobs, and other favors. Government's job is to guard and protect us, but who will protect us from the guardian themselves once they become corrupted? There is no certain recourse against a corrupt government. Now, this is the thing that we're talking about. Who is holding them accountable? Who is, you know, when are we going to start saying, you know what, going back to the Declaration of Independence, you know, seriously going back to the Declaration of Independence and taking it, like, right back, taking our rights, you know, taking our rights back, because it's in there. It's in the Constitution.
Well,
when are we going to start working on that?
We're all afraid to rock the boat. Nobody wants to rock the boat because everybody's afraid that somebody's going to come and do them something, or the big bad wolf's going to come and blow your house down, and you know you're going to be affected as an individual, and your comfort is going to be taken away from you. That nobody wants to say anything.
But their comfort's being taken away now.
Oh, now it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Our comfort's being taken away now.
It is. But you see, the people who believe that they're the haves and have been that way for so long, think that they're so far away from really what's going on that they don't think that this can hit home anytime soon. So it's like, just don't rock the boat because I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable. But they don't. They really don't see that the walls around the, you know, the wall around their estate is being chipped away little bit by little bit, and eventually there's gonna be a crack in it where they're gonna be, you know, they're gonna look outside one day and see a hole in that gate in that wall and say, oh my God, somebody's in.
Yeah, and I think it's also about, you know, Angela, we talk about a higher consciousness state of being, and it really comes down to that higher consciousness state of being about do no harm. I mean, it's so simple in the sense of what is not harming us out there? What is actually working in the environment? What is actually working in our community? What is actually inner empowering people? Inner empowering, not so much self-empowering. We all have self-empowerment, but the thing about it is it comes from within to without, that inner empowering. What things are working? And, you know, I think it's going to take – part of it is just to stand up and start saying, you know what, I do have a choice. I'm going to start looking at what's working. I'm going to start going to what's working and start getting creative about what health care, what is working out there as far as individuals finding cures. What is actually curing people? It's like taking a look at the end result. In our communities, what are some things that we can do as far as cleaning up our environment?
Mm-hmm.
What is working in our farming? What is actually working that's you know, bringing back foods that are actually nutritious? You know, what things can we take to in as far as food supplements to enhance that the food that we are eating? You know, it's like going back to that, the spirituality issues. Where are people telling us that we are a divine aspect of Creator? We are the whole intelligence in our body to make the decisions that are best for us. Where are those centers of living intelligence or spiritual intelligence that gives us those options that are working together?
And I think if we make that connection that, yes, we're here as humans doing this, you know, that we're here and we have this experience, we have to also come to an understanding that, you know, there's a side to us that's such a creative power that I think when we come to that, we can also see. And there was actually a show, a program a little while ago that I was watching on this that, you know, when we're not careful about what we consume
and this in our bodies is food. And this doesn't just go for food. This goes as far as words or, you know, thoughts or anything. When we're not careful what we consume, we kind of pass this on to our offspring in ourselves. So this particular program was about how when the pesticides started being added to the food, how it didn't affect us right away. But then when we had children, it kind of affected them. You know, they had the, you know, all of a sudden now we have all these kids with allergy problems. And all of a sudden now we have kids with, you know, there's more kids now that have asthma than ever before. And then how that trickles down to, you know, our kids and then their kids having the same effect, because it's now part of us. Because, when you say do no harm, that really, I really wish that people would get that in their core. What do no harm means do no harm.
Yeah. Constitution of the United States says, we the people of the United States, in order to form or more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, do ordain and establish the Constitution of the United States of America. Do you know there is an amendment about Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Redress meaning to set right, remedy, or rectify. Satisfaction for wrong done, reparation, correction. And yet how many of us, you know, go back and say, we want to redress this. We want to correct this error. You know, you're putting laws behind our backs. You know what? You didn't ask that. You didn't put this out for the common good. You didn't put this out for tranquility. You're not promoting our general welfare. We want to redress this. That's the whole key about, you know, when people are getting money in the back, when people are giving more power to the form, more power to the corporations, more power than actual honoring the security or honoring the Constitution of, well, why we put them there in the first place, those need to be redressed.
Well, I think also too that, you know, the Constitution is a document that was written, and I'm not gonna go into where, because I have my own thoughts about where the Constitution was written and where everybody vibrationally was when that was written, and that energy is still all over that Constitution. But why do we even need something in writing to be able to, that has to tell us what we should or how we should behave, or, you know, how we should do no harm? That's a knowing, an inner knowing that we all have, that some of us just haven't tapped into yet, or we don't understand the full scope of what it means not to do any harm. So, you know, we have this Constitution here, and there's a lot of written laws about a lot of things. But we have evidence that people do not pay attention to that at all.
I think you're right. I think it's about when become more unified. I mean, this is the whole thing. Back in the Civil War days, there were wars made within our United States about disagreements, to the point, you know, it was about commerce and economics and enslavement, and that brought wars. And I think part of the whole, even when we were owned by, you know, or when there was a government that was not even, you know, in American soil that was governing this land, that's part of what was brought into passing so that we could create unity. But I also agree what you're talking about is when it was written, it also was written in the energy of those beings. And I think it's time to start taking a look at what's working and what's not working around that, and start to revise it once again for the for unity, for a common unity. Not
mm-hmm.
everybody's going to agree, but there's just too many things, too much corruption going on right now that is not being spotlighted on.
Well, we can all agree to respect each other. We can all agree,
we can agree to
expect, not to right.
Exactly. It's just a common, it's just about what's a common common universe. Because you know what? Spirit is everywhere.
Yep.
You know, this is the thing about the air we breathe. The air we breathe is just like spirit. It's omnipresent. It's everywhere. It's in everything. It is the unseen, the ineffable essence of created form. It is what is formless, so to speak. It's in everything, but it's universal. There was no division. It was supposed to be a unity between spirit and form is what our human, attire is, basically, is a unity. And yet somehow form took over and drowned out that universal element. And I think that right now, just for my children's sake and my grandchildren's sake, I want to bring back more of that higher consciousness,
mm-hmm.
you know, activate a higher consciousness of universality and not this division, not the diversities. I appreciate the adversities, yet not at the expense of the universal spirit of things. And that's one of the reasons why I keep thinking about the voices. What does the end result look like? What does the end result look like when things go so out of control, it's harming people? I mean, there are people's rights being confiscated, their pursuit of happiness confiscated
mm-hmm.
because some of the powers to be in the government right now are snatching it up.
Yeah.
You know,
but
I
need
work,
to be right. Well, not
yes,
only for the
need
to be
right,
right, but not only for the need to be right, but for the sake of you're stepping on my business deal, you're stepping on my there's a word I'm looking for here. You're stepping on my livelihood. You know, this is all about the dollar for me, and you're stepping on it. So I'm gonna have to stop you from doing this because I can't make any money if people. Listen to where they are as an individual, but then we have, you know, if we have somebody else coming along and say, no, we don't have to go this way, we can go, you know, this way. It, you know, it's like, well, if I'm not going to be able to get people to just come over here and let's say buy this, you know, get this vaccine and get, you know, buy into the fear so that the pharmaceuticals can have their dollar, you know, now we're going to stop this other individual from giving other people the right to choose.
Well, let's take a look at the who's the person, like who's controlling the puppet strings.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying for our health, like say the health supplements, going back to that. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of vitamins on shelves all across America in retail outlets. Thousands. But yet they're okay. It's like they're supposedly okay. Who owns those thousands and thousands and thousands of supplements
mm-hmm.
on the retail shelves? It's okay to put them out there and promote them as okay, and yet online there are people right now, say Dr. Andrew Well.
Yes.
He for instance, he promoted a product that scientifically has been proven to help alleviate swine flu, and his stuff was yanked and confiscated and threatened as a crime. As a crime, but yet I some of those very ingredients are
mm-hmm.
on shelves.
Yep.
And I have to wonder whose supplements are getting favored treatment.
Right.
Are they pharmaceutical supplements thousands and thousands and thousands that are still, you know, padding the big pharma companies? Are those supplements being favored by the FTC, by the American Medical Association, by big pharma, you know, insurance, all that stuff? They're in bed with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Who is holding them accountable? Who is saying, you know what, do no harm? When it gets to where free enterprise is harming the masses, we have to start and stop and take a look at, you know, are you really protecting us and looking out for the well-being? When the very hands, you know, the very hands that are grabbing the money are harming for what? A dollar? That's where that higher consciousness, that's where the creator of the inalienable rights of who we are as our divine creator, that's where we have to go. Because there, the power out here, the form that's like governing, you know, it's kind of like our physical matter right now is governing over the spiritual matter, over the higher laws of the land. And it's going to start taking that, putting that emotion, I really believe, and having a passion for the well-being and seeing what's, you know, our air, cleaner air and cleaner water and better foods. It can come and be just as economical, greener technology. It can come just, you know, technology was kind of bridging the gaps between not being able to put, you know, one place or another. But is technology, same thing, is technology harming our health, our environment, our well-being?
And not only technology, but we as individuals are also doing the same kinds of harm to ourselves when we decide that it's somebody else's problem.
Yeah, what they call the sin of omission. Well, that's not my deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can trust you. It will affect you. You know,
later.
You're going to be affected, but whether you decide to get involved now or whether you decide to get involved later, you're going to be affected.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're connected. We're connected by the same air we breathe, we're just as connected by that universal spirit of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when are we going to, like you were talking about earlier, about when are we going to start waking up? You know, when are we going to start?
What is it going to take?
What's it going to take? What happens to us when we start stepping on people's well-being? The right to feel. Now, granted, if somebody wants to feel sick and somebody wants to do that, that's fine.
You can do that. You have the right to be able to do that, right?
I don't want a company or a corporation or something outside myself to say, okay, this is a cheaper way to do it, even if it's going to screw your health up or it's going to put you out on the street.
Or you're going to have all these side effects.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, okay, well, then give me an island I can live on and I'll just start doing my own commerce, you know, and my own well-being if that's what it's going to take. I just really start wanting to giving the right to really saying, you know what? I don't want to have to turn the TV off anymore or ignore what's going on because it's less painful. I want to get beyond the pain. I want to get beyond the pain to live and in pursuit of happiness, to live freely in a land that has cleaner air and water, you know? I want the same Declaration of Independence, that same energy that caused those men to stand up and say, you know what, we don't want to be ruled at our own expense. I want that for America again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can
That's for the whole of this whole planet.
And the universe, yeah. I mean, planet.
Mm-hmm.
The whole planet. But since I don't live in the other countries, you know, I have to kind of... It'd be nice if they want to live in the model of it, but I think it's about holism. It's about being whole. It's about looking beyond the pain to what's going to change, and you know, change is consistent.
Yes,
change
it is
consistent. It's evolving. Our awakenings are evolving. People are out here. Ooh, we're getting close to the 1 minute, girl.
You know what? And I forgot to say, I wanted to say, a shout out to Maine Bob, Mark VG, who's from the UK, and LOA Gary,
yes,
who is no longer with us. But thank you guys so much for joining us today on our show today. We really, really appreciate it.
Yes, and thank you. And anytime that you all can give us, you know, any links or comments or posts,
and they
or
did.
Thoughts.
They did.
They
left. They left.
Okay,
some
good,
yeah,
good.
We're gonna post those. They did leave links.
Because they are so, you know, It's people coming together. Here's Bob. It says 350.org, biggest rally in the world yesterday, lowers CO2 below 350 to save the planet. Yes. Thank you, Bob, for saying it. You know, we love this, and we're going to start looking at, Angela and I are going to start looking at each place of what's working in America. Let's make it better.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're going to start taking little things down and start looking at those as we go along, because this whole thing about when people are right at the expense of somebody just really stirred something in us, and we thought, you know what? We've got this show. We can voice our thoughts and our opinions. Let's start spotlighting what's working.
Let's do it.
And let's start creating community awarenesses and unity with those, and celebrating what's already out there, because there's a lot of things that are already going, like this 350.org. There's a lot of communities that are coming up. So I just want to start moving into that and starting appreciating them and giving voice to their contributions.
Yes. Wow. I can't believe this hour is up already. Oh, my gosh. I cannot believe this hour is up already.
Well,
I knew this was this is just something that we had to talk about. We had to talk about this.
Well, yeah, because I'm not going to look and point fingers at anybody. So I'm just going to stay in the state of celebration and appreciation that we can think for ourselves. Angela and I love to be individual thinkers. Well, you know, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. I'm going to go celebrate with my beautiful son and his adorable girlfriend, celebrate some food and community, or get-together, family get-together, because I just so love and appreciate them, and they're evolving and growing themselves, so we want to celebrate their new place. But next week, we're going to have a really fun guest. She's a female entrepreneur, and we'll be posting that show. I just love when someone finds and it becomes in alignment with something out here as a product or a service and becomes in alignment with it, and you see them grow themselves, become just in alignment with celebrating the things that are naturally a fit for them. So we're going to have a conversation with a female entrepreneur next week, and we hope you join us for that show. Until then, we'll be doing our tweak in our
week of the week
in the middle. But until then, remember, who you are is more important than anybody else's opinion or any role you play out on the planet. Who you are is the most important. Be well, be amazing, be the magnificent beings you are, and have an awesome day.
Thank
you. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.